This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio.
Yo.
Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by film director James Bresson. James, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm super excited to talk to you. I like your story. It's very inspirational, and I mean, you've come from such a far place, and you really have just grown as both a director and as a person. And for our listening audience, I was wondering if you could tell us kind of like how you got involved with film. What was like the catalyst that really got you, I guess, interested in filmmaking?
I mean, I was always, you know, interested in movies my entire life. You know, film, I was that kid that thought, you know, everybody thought it was cool to know, like, everybody on, like, you know, like, the baseball team or a basketball team, like, every player. I was the guy who thought it was cool to know, like, all the directors and actors of every movie. So I was, like, a walking IMDb when I was a kid. I just always... But, you know, and that's from, like, you know, kindergarten through third grade. I was just, like, you know, loved watching movies. And then once I was in about, like, you know, fifth grade, my dad fell very ill, and he was over liver failure. And before that, he was, you know, my baseball coach and all this stuff. But all him and I could really do after that was watch movies together. And that's what we did. And I think that's when I realized, like, you know, film is something that anybody can share. It's talking points and it's part of culture. And I really wanted to create something like that. I just grew so fond of the ability to, you know, talking points film and really just creating something that anybody of any type could, you know, fund. And so with that, I just wanted to go out and make movies that, you know, people could really connect to, and also stuff that I thought, for me, my dad, you know, people could share with anybody, really. You know, it's family time, it's everything.
Absolutely. Tell me, and I know that you, I think you started, like, your first film, you know, like, I guess your company, your film company, you started it with only, like, $7,000, right?
Yeah, my first movie was $7,000, and I was 18 years old. So that was my first feature film. And I was like, you know, if Robert Rodriguez could do this with $7,000, that's what I'm going to try and do. Not that I thought I was Robert Rodriguez, but it's just like I knew it was possible. And that's what really made me move forward, because seeing that somebody could pull it off made me think that, like, you know, I could pull it off, because I don't believe in the whole sentiment of something being the exception to the rule. I believe in it being just the rule, you know. So he established the fact that it's possible, and you know, that it's a rule. And I went out there and I said, hey, I'm going to follow that path and follow that rule, because once somebody proves something's possible, that doesn't make them the exception to the rule. That means if you keep focused and keep moving forward, you can do it as well. So I just went for it.
Absolutely. You've always been drawn to the genre of horror, and it's something that, you know, like, a lot of people, you know, aspire to shoot or to direct, but, you know, not a lot of people just really have a knack for it, but you definitely have kind of a knack for that genre. What was it that, I guess, kind of drew you to the genre of horror? And I guess, when did you know that was something that you were, I guess, gifted in?
You know, horror has been my favorite genre to watch. And it's actually really funny. I tell people that, like, I have, like, the film taste of a serial killer, because I literally watch horror movies and I watch, like, kids movies. And those are, like, my two favorite genres, like, cartoons and horror movies, which I feel like that just kind of is what I would imagine, like, a serial killer would watch. But, you know, I just always love horror, and so I felt I was a guy who looked out of print horror movies, watched, like, crazy practical effects. So I knew if I was going to my first couple movies, I was going to make some horror movies. But I will say that, you know, as a student of the genre, and I love the genre, but Bethany is my last film, is my last horror film for a while as a director.
Wow. So are you taking a break after this from making horror? Are you going to try to transcend it to something else? Or?
Yeah, I'm doing other genres. I just did an animated kids movie that should be coming out relatively soon. And I had just done a movie for Lifetime that actually came out before Bethany, but it was made after Bethany. You know, Bethany I shot like a year ago, and it took like a year in post due to visual effects and all that stuff. But I haven't touched horror as a director since then, and I wanted to go out on a high note. But all of my planned movies as a director for the next 2 years, none of them are horror movies.
Holy crap!
And you know, all of my movies that have been that are backlogged, like Limelight, will be coming out later this year. You know, If Looks Could Kill already just came out last week on DVD. And it was on Lifetime a month ago. You guys should check it out. It's a thriller. It's a lot of fun. But that was not a horror movie. Limelight, not a horror movie. That's a drama. I have this animated kids movie coming out that I directed. And I have The Condo coming out, which is an urban comedy. So I have a lot of non-horror movies coming out, and all of my planned movies to direct are not horror as well. So, you know, the next five or six movies you're going to see come out with my name on it as a director are not going to be horror films.
Wow. James, that is quite the jump. But, I mean, it definitely shows, like, your versatility, which is good.
My thing is this. You know, I love horror. And I will gladly go back to horror anytime. But I personally started to feel, and, you know, people can say what they want about it, but I've done quite a bit of horror movies, as anybody who's familiar with my resume would know. And I personally feel that, you know, if they're not climbing to, you know, the biggest budget possible for horror, then I need to be looking at other genres until then. So right now I'm exploring other genres while at this budget range. Because I don't want to just only be doing super low budget horror for forever. The next horror movie I do, I want it to be, I want to have a very big budget.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your film Bethany. It's your, I guess, your newest film that's out now. And you know, as you said, it's your last horror.
It comes out April 8th.
Yeah. That's just a couple weeks away. What was it like? I mean, this film, I know this is near and dear to your heart. What was it like for you, I guess, on a personal level, you know, doing this film?
You know, it was definitely an emotional experience. I'd say it's probably my favorite experience making a movie. And I personally think it's the best film I've ever made. I really love this movie. And just to put it into perspective, you know, my grandmother, who was a huge supporter of me as a filmmaker, she passed away when I was filming Hate Crime, my second movie. So she never really got to see any of my movies. But she always told me I could build skyscrapers from the top down, which is, you know, really something that's impossible. But she said I would be the one that could find a way to do it. And she was referring to me going and making movies instead of going to film school. And, you know, personally, I felt I would just go out and go for it to make movies. And anyways, she passed away, and I've made many, many movies since then, but none of them I felt were good enough to dedicate to her memory. And Bethany, I finally felt I made something good enough, and so I dedicated it to her. So at the end of the movie, there's a dedication to her memory.
Man, that is awesome. I can't imagine, you know, how you feel, you know, just having her gone. But I know that, you know, the memory of her is what fuels you. And, I mean, that just makes this film that much more memorable. I've seen the screener, and it was really, really, you know, it shot really well. I love it. Like, amazing. Was it particularly arduous, I guess, putting the film together, creating it from start to finish?
No, I mean, this film was, you know, I mean, it was a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but I had a distinct idea of what I wanted everything in it to look like, and I was very well supported by my team and my producing partner, Zach Ward, and writing partner, that I was able to do everything that I wanted to within the film. So I don't feel like it was a strenuous experience, more so than any other film. It was, you know, a lot of pre-production and a lot of making sure everything is in order. But I definitely feel like everything is reflected on the screen, and I feel like it's a movie that people will connect with. You know, there's a lot of depth to it. I hope people see.
Absolutely. The concept of the film, I don't want you to, I guess, give anything away, but I thought that the concept and everything, I thought it was really, really unique. What was, I guess, the idea behind the story? Like, was this something that you dreamed and, like, visualized that, you know, kind of came to fruition, or did you know somebody, like, where did the idea of the story come from?
It came from a couple different things. Like, I wanted to take what everybody was familiar with, you know, the standard ghost story, and turn it on its head. And so I took what everybody knew of a ghost story and said, well, how could I make this the most realistic? And the most realistic thing that I could think of was, you know, I had imaginary friends when I was a kid. A lot of people did. And I think the idea of that is so weird that I wanted to turn it into, like, what creates an imaginary friend? How does somebody experience that? So she's going into this house and remembering this imaginary friend. She's also hurt and fueled by the trauma that she experienced as a kid. And I feel like, you know, somebody who's going through mentally experiences that are super traumatic, as well as you see what her mother put her through, she would have, you know, a disconnect with reality. And that's where I think a lot of the horror comes from, because it's that question of, is she crazy, is she not crazy? And I went to a performing arts high school. I had somebody I knew that was super talented, and they had a crazy, crazy stage mother that really pushed them and was living, like, vicariously through them. And this person had a mental breakdown and was unable to actually reach their full potential because of how hard their parent pushed them, because they were failing not only themselves but their mother as well. And I think seeing that and seeing movies like Mommy Dearest made me go, well, this is what I want to make a horror movie about. And I feel like, you know, the movie is very cerebral. It goes in and out of Claire's psyche, and I think we literally see the camera travel in and out of her head.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I love the concept, the idea. Like, I just think, like, because it's been done before, but, like, not from the way that you told the story, and I thought that was, like, really, really unique.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. In your own opinion, what makes a great storyteller? Because to me, filmmaking is storytelling. You yourself, what would you say is, like, kind of like the thing that makes a really good storyteller?
Passion. I really think it's passion. I think, you know, I think so many people we've seen throughout, we used to sit around the fire, you know, in caveman times and tell each other stories or write them on the walls. Anybody can be a storyteller. You just have to be passionate about the story you're telling. And I think, you know, being passionate about it and having you know, that passion translates to the screen. I think, you know, we are natural-born storytellers as humans. We're meant to tell stories because that's how we communicate. So I think being a good communicator and being passionate is the best way to tell a story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. I wanted to ask you, where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of your upcoming and current projects?
You can follow me on Twitter at James Cullen B. Or on Instagram at James Cullen B. Or check out my website, jamescullenbreathback.com, and give me a shout.
Awesome, awesome. Well, James, thank you so much. I'd like to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this interview with me. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Just please check out Bethany on 4/7, and I hope you guys like it.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. No problem at all. Guys, that was filmmaker James Bresic. You can check out the link to his website. We'll put it in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the App Store. Just download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You hear this interview with James. We're also available on Android. If you've got an Android device, you can go to the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You heard this interview with James. Lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to us in the comfort of your own home. We have over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our show name, download the app to your television. Once you download the app, you can listen all for free right in the comfort of your own home.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.